All right, so the pick is in, and I can't believe what we just witnessed. Team Luke's brothers are on the Indianapolis Colts tonight, getting 3.5. And Luke was adamant Denver wins tonight and covers tonight, and Al's brother flipped him. And now This just sets up for such a perfect show tomorrow if Denver rolls tonight. Like, it's just exactly what I was waiting for. And Luke Wilson really pumping the tires of old Al's brother, claiming that he's got GM material. Possibly a GM in the NFL. One.
I saw that. I could not believe when he just said Al's brother made me flip the switch. Mm-hmm. I could not believe that that came out of a professional athlete, a professional football player's mouth.
Mm-hmm. Hayes, if you had the pick tonight, who were you on? Were you on Denver?
I was taking Denver tonight. Yeah, I don't love the game, admittedly, in terms of a gambling perspective. It's tough to get a read on. They're not. I don't think either team's a great team. Neither coach is a great coach. You know, the Colts play conservatively. Nathaniel Hackett's been a mess. Like, I get it. Bad coach, short week. But Denver's at home, and I would trust Russell Wilson over Matt Ryan, ultimately.
But isn't the Colts Al's brother's team, too?
Yeah,
so he's
exactly.
slightly biased?
Of course
That's all
is.
I can think about. Like, that's his team. So
yeah,
I don't know,
didn't come up, I'm sure. Al's brother didn't mention his blatant bias towards the Indianapolis Colts. But you guys see this Draymond Green-Jordan Poole story where I guess Draymond got into it with Jordan Poole, and it's become clear based on the reporting it was like 100% Draymond's fault. So I guess the GM came out and said Draymond's apologized to the team. He was kept out of practice today. Jordan Poole practiced and was there. That would suggest everyone knows what happened here.
What exactly happened between the two of them? Did he punch him or something?
I think
mopped
so.
Him, yeah.
Yeah, they had a dust-up verbal argument, and then it led to Draymond Green either pushing him or punching him or something of that line. Obviously, it wasn't so bad that Jordan Poole couldn't be there today. Poole's clearly fine. But Poole's a stud, you know, a young kid that contributed greatly to them winning an NBA championship. And what you've got here is you got the new wave, Wiggins and Poole and others – and then the older guys like Draymond, who's still trying to hold on, right? Like, Draymond wants to be a part of this ride, and his contract's coming up, and he's got the podcast. Like, will he address this on his podcast?
Yeah,
exactly
probably
what
so.
Happened or what?
Yeah, that's what he will do, because he always talks about, I think it was him that made the statement, like, they're tired of the media kind of twisting things, and they deliver their own information. So
right, the new media. He's a part of the new media.
Is that what he's calling it, or they
I
call it?
I think so. Yeah. Well, this is it. Here's your opportunity. You put yourself in a bad spot, jamming up a teammate and the rest of the boys in camp. What do you make of it? What are you going to tell us on your podcast?
I just want to hear. Well, that's. I want to hear his side of the story. But then again, you have to put a little grain of salt with it, because we want to hear the other side of the story. Like, I don't know. Are we ever going to get both sides of the real truth out of it? Because if he puts it out on the podcast, like, he's not shy to talk about it. Like, those games last year in the finals, the guy was – no.
He's not shy with anything, Jamie. And he's talented enough, and he's a champion. What is it, he's won four championships?
Yeah, they've won four now, yep.
He's won four championships, and he's one of those guys. If Kerr and the organization – they choose to put up with it because it's worth it. That's the bottom line. If it's not worth it, then he wouldn't be around. But he's worth it.
He's a Hall of Fame player. He's not the same as he was 10 years ago, but he's still a really quality contributing player on a dynasty. You know,
difference
and he's right
maker.
There. Like, it's Steph's team, but Draymond's just a half step below with Klay Thompson and Steve Kerr.
Wow.
Right? So,
don't you think, sorry to interrupt, don't you think there's a layer there, and this is just me thinking, like, you mentioned old guard, new guard, you know, Draymond might have a chip on his shoulder, like you say, like, I deserve more respect than maybe, you know, a kid giving me type of thing, and give him a shot in practice. Like, that's what it reeks of for me from the outside, is it's like, you know, at a veteran guy, maybe calling out a kid either for something, and the kid not showing the respect, so Draymond gives him a pop. Like,
right.
That's happened
and
several times.
And the respect is determined by the player in question here, right?
Exactly.
Like Draymond's standard or any veteran's standard of respect, which may not actually be realistic or accurate whatsoever. Just right. You feel slighted, so you're going to react to it. Anyway, I'm seeing online, Julia Cruz of MLB.com caught up with Kevin Gausman, who, as we know, left his last start due to a cut on his right middle finger. And he did a bullpen session today, and he told Julia, quote, "It's fine, finger's fine, I'll be good to go whenever they tell me to. That's one thing about the postseason, you've just got to be ready for whenever that is," end quote. We don't know who's starting game two. Like, the Mariners are out in front of it. They're going Castillo tomorrow, Robbie Ray game two, Logan Gilbert game three if it gets to that. The Jays, the only thing we know is Manoah's going tomorrow.
Give me Gausman. Give me Gausman, Robbie Ray. It's like Robbie Ray's replacement. There's some drama there. I love that.
Me too. It's just simply as a sport fan, it's the perfect duel.
That's right. It's like you decided to leave and you took the money, whatever. And it's like we got Gausman, so that makes it more of a story. There's more juice to it. I love
it. Exactly. Robbie Ray wins a Cy Young last year. He didn't come up here when the Mariners came up. I think we all know why, but that's not an issue anymore. And now we're going to see Robbie Ray for the first time back at the Dome since winning a Cy Young as a Blue Jay. And that'll be Saturday afternoon. But tomorrow it's going to be Manoah against Luis Castillo. Again, we know Robbie Ray's going Saturday. We know Logan Gilbert will go Sunday if need be. For the Jays, we don't know who's going to pitch game two. Gausman will be one of game two or game three. And then we got to hear, is it Stripling? Is it Barrios? The other start. But we have a guy on the line who's been calling baseball for a long time. He's been a longtime voice of the Mariners. He's had some great calls that have gone viral recently, including the walk-off last week that punched a ticket to the playoffs for the first time in 21 years. Here's Dave Sims, the voice of the Mariners. How you doing, Dave?
Doing well, fellas. How you doing?
Doing very well. We played that clip. Obviously, as you know, everyone was buzzing about that, the walk-off that punched a ticket to the playoffs for the first time in 21 years. What was that experience like, knowing that I'm sure everyone in Seattle, Mariners fans, you're not going to forget that call because it brought to the table something that people in Seattle have not been able to realize for a long time?
Oh, are you kidding? Absolutely. I mean, I can remember when Steve Young, he finally won a Super Bowl, and he told, was it Harris Barton, take this monkey off my back. Well, we take this old gorilla pen off our back. I mean, it's ridiculous. And it feels great to be where we are. We always love coming to Toronto. And it just means the world to everybody in Seattle and the Pacific Northwest.
Well, in Toronto, people are liking this matchup because of the way the Jays are playing right now for a couple of different reasons. One, the Jays are peaking, and it was really going to be the Mariners or Tampa, and Tampa has kind of had the Jays' ticket for a long time. Like, there's not a great history between those two teams in terms of the way the Rays play and the way that they perform. So I think in Toronto, the reasoning is this was the matchup that the Jays wanted and Blue Jay fans wanted. How are Mariner fans and maybe the Mariners organization feeling about the matchup in terms of them coming to Toronto and playing the Blue Jays?
You've heard the phrase, be careful what you ask for.
Yeah.
You know, you got a Mariner ball club that's really strong in starting pitching, strong in bullpen, since August 1 leading the American League in home runs, and in listening to President Baseball Operations, Jerry DePoto, Scott Service, the manager, the players. I mean, you're not going to string four or five hits together. It's about, get a guy on and somebody hits a 2-3-run homer. And then it's all about defending it at the back end. And right now, with Julio Rodriguez back healthy and swinging the bat, he's back to where he was before he had a couple of setbacks. Eugenio Suarez is back. I mean, the power guys are getting it done. The starters, the bullpen guys, they're getting it done. And it's a super duper hungry team. I mean, it's crazy. I've been doing this for a lot of years. And as a writer, as a broadcaster, as a talk show host, these guys are on as good a roll coming in as you can want.
What's the pre-scout on the Jays, though? You just mentioned and just showed Seattle's strength, but when you look at the Jays lineup from the outside, what do you think Seattle feels like they need to deal with the strength of the Jays?
Well, the other day we were on the air, couldn't wait to get the regular season wrapped up after we clinched, and I knew from previous experience, obviously, that this is a prodigious lineup. And they're 1, 2, 3, usually top five in almost every offensive category. That's interesting. The other thing that's interesting, they're very right-handed. And, Robbie, when he's on, and he's a left-hander, obviously, he's good against right-handers, and Luis Castillo, who's going tomorrow, forget about it. He is lights out on right-handers. So, and Logan Gilbert, I just think Logan Gilbert's a hard throwing, big, tall, rangy kid. just full of of energy and want to. This is we're well aware of Manoah and Gausman, and we think that the thought is that maybe your number three starter may not be as good as the first two. So I think that that's going to be something to look at. I think there's going to be low scoring games. I mean, if some of these games, it could be the first team to get one is going to win. I mean, that's tough. I mean, we have high regard and high respect for the Toronto pitching staff.
Dave, what did you make of Robbie Ray's action this year? I was disappointed he took his tight pants to Seattle. I don't know what happened. Was everybody down with the tight pants and just his overall performance? What did you make of him? We loved him last year, obviously.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, no question. No, he had some moments earlier in the season where there was always that one inning he'd be going along and there'd be a walk, there'd be an error, and then a couple, maybe two, three runs, and then he'd shut it. He'd be back to shutdown mode. We got used to the grunt. We got used to the tight pants. I think, a lot of the fans were digging on that. They had some fun with it, and he seemed to be able to roll with it well. So I think overall he was good. I think, they get to know you first year. Sometimes, you see a guy coming off a Cy Young Award. It's probably unfair to expect he's going to duplicate exactly that. But he's had spots where he's been really good. Coming off a subpar outing against Oakland last time up, motivation-wise, I don't think you have to say or do anything for Robbie to get him up for this matchup on Saturday.
Yeah, it'll be a big one for sure. We're chatting with Dave Sims, the voice of the Mariners. And the Mariners have come out, as you mentioned, Dave, like it's Castillo tomorrow, Ray game two, Gilbert if need be on three. All we know in Toronto is Manoah's going tomorrow. They still haven't announced who will start game two, who will start game three. That could be because of the status of Gausman. He had a cut on his right middle finger. And I guess, he did a bullpen session today. It sounds like he's all good and he should be ready to go. I would assume he goes for game two. But what's your read on the situation?
I like Manoah, man.
Yeah.
That dude, he's a stud.
He can play, man. And he's saying the right things, right? Like, he's like, the pressure's not on. Like, we're peaking at the right time. And yet he's a kid, and it's going to be 45,000 lunatics down there tomorrow. Like, that's going to be for both teams, right? Like, the Jays had their recent history in 15 and 16, but it's a complete turnover of the roster. And as we know, the Mariners haven't been in the playoffs in 21 years. Do you expect some nerves from both clubs early tomorrow?
Well, they're human. I mean, it's going to be how you shake it off. And I think, Scott Service, I was at his news conference today, said he told the coaches, he told the players, hey, expect the expected. And there's going to be a couple of times you're going to be in a hole and you got to dig your way out. And there's going to be a couple of times where, you might have your foot on the throat of the other team, put them away. So, there's going to be, it wouldn't be, you're not human if you don't come out here and feel some jitters/excitement. I mean, you probably, if anything, you're going to have to slow yourself down. I think that's going to be the biggest thing because, I mean, I get excited just watching the guys, when they introduce the guys and they all come out on the third baseline, the first baseline, and I'm getting fired up just watching that. So you can imagine that first inning, and it's unlike football where you have a first hit, then you get it back together. But, you see a couple of fastballs in there, and, you foul off a couple, and, you get back into your head, and then you're ready to go. So I expect both teams to be able to perform at a high level.
You mentioned Julio Rodriguez, who was recently on the IL, but activated. He's back. He's all good. I mean, his season for a rookie, it's been off the charts, the numbers he's been putting up. Is he the guy, like, if you're John Schneider, the Jays, and you're circling 1 through 9, is he the one that is going to spark it for the Mariners and the guy you probably got to focus on the most?
Especially since he's in a leadoff spot. Yesterday,
right.
Second pitch of the ball game, he went on for Tank left field a couple of days ago. He went he had a bullet double. He came back, I think, one of the first or second games. He came back and went 3-for-4. Exit D'Lo was out of sight. The guy's special. He's 21 years old. He plays like he's, with the savvy of a 31-year-old guy. Covers gap to gap. Great throwing arm. Tremendous baseball instincts. IQ's off the chart. I mean, he's everything you could want in a professional baseball player, a superstar baseball player. And he's locked up till something like 2037. So
yeah.
He's going to be around for a while.
That was a quick one, man. Like a rookie. That's the new age. That's the way, they operate in baseball, isn't it? Like you showing
not
up
here.
Early on?
Not here.
Up here. Yeah, up here you got to wait. Like if you're Bo and Vladdy, et cetera, you probably got to wait a little bit longer. But that one caught us off guard.
Yeah, Acuna got the big deal.
Yep.
You know, Wander Franco got the big deal. And Alan Julio's got one. And, you know, he wants to be in Seattle. He loves it there. The fan base, I mean, I remember back in spring training, he hit a home run down in Peoria that, I mean, it was out in the blink. And then we were over playing the Cubs, and he hit one out right field. And I was talking to my broadcast partner. I said, Mike, he's making his team. And here's another one. The number one selling jersey in Seattle is going to be Julio Rodriguez, number 44. And I was saying this in early March. And that all has come to pass.
You know what's crazy, Dave, is the Acuna deal was $100 million, I believe, over 10 years. I don't know how many years ago. What was it, two or three?
A couple years ago, yeah.
And it was like, oh, my God, $100 million. And it's disgusting that would be looked at now as peanuts, and he's playing on the cheap. Like, that's how things have gone.
Crazy.
Hey, we live to see it, man. What can I tell you? We live to see it.
Yep, we sure did. He is Dave Sims, the voice of the Mariners. Is there any, obviously you're jacked that the Mariners are finally in, first time in 21 years, but it won't be a home game. Is that any, I would say bitterness, but how you feeling about calling a game, three games possibly exclusively on the road?
Well, you said you played my video the other night, the GoPro game. That excitement speaks for itself. They're in the freaking playoffs. I mean, we lose 1 degree where it's not, you know, not at home. Hey, we'll take it. Our radio listeners will be keyed up. The TV ratings will be off the chart. They're in the playoffs. It's nothing really to quibble about, to be honest with you. They're in the playoffs.
Right.
We've had some near misses during the time I've been here. We missed last year by, a couple of games. And there's about three or four other occasions where we came down the stretch and couldn't finish off the job. This time it got finished off. And they're in. That's all that matters.
Yep. Well, there you go. Living the dream. Starting tomorrow. It's going to be fun. Enjoy the call, Dave. Enjoy your time up here in Toronto. And we really appreciate you finding time for us.
Fellas, thanks a lot. And always a pleasure to come up here to Toronto. And you guys be well. Thanks for the
you
time.
You too.
Appreciate it.
You got it. There's Dave Sims, the voice of the Seattle Mariners.
Exit Velo.
Mm-hmm.
I love an exit Velo.
It's a great little stat, isn't it? Well, exit velocity. They should...
Exit velocity.
Checking our exit velocity, leaving the studio every day at 6:55. See if we can break records.
I still think the exit velocity is going to be measured on Luke when he leaves your guys' group chat when he hates your guts 8 weeks in.
I think possibly tonight.
I already know what he's – yeah, no kidding. Tonight he's going to say, how did I listen to that donkey?
Tonight is – this is where it starts. Like he
it
got
is.
Turned. He was
I
turned.
Know. I've seen it. As soon as he said, this guy made me flip, I just looked at the screen. I'm like, there's a professional football player – and there's Al's brother, 2-6, and he made you flip?
Plus, who do you want Nathaniel Hackett on a short week? I don't think so.
Listen to that.
Oh, my God.
Listen to that. Carving Nathaniel Hackett. So, anyway, what are you going to do? We'll see. I'm not, like, as much as I wanted week one Seattle to win, as much as I wanted Miami to win, I can't tell you how much I want Denver to roll tonight. Like, win by 3 or 4 touchdowns. Matty Ice sucks. You know, the run game's a mess. Russ is dancing all in the backfield, running for yardages, moving the chains. And that's kind of what I envision happening anyway. But now you get the kiss of death, Fredo Corleone. It's even worse, man.
Please, if Denver – so Denver wins outright tonight, can you please send out the Beansy?
Like, yo, Beansy is – it's already in the archives.
Hospital bet.
Oh, it's a full hospital
bet. With the neck brace on, for sure.
Yeah, it's the full hospital bet tonight. There's no question about that. All right, we'll come back and recap the TSN top 50 list where we are down at number one. We know McDavid got there. Matthews at 2. What else kind of stood out for us? The Leafs are back in action. Tomorrow's been awfully quiet in Leaf camp, man. They're just kind of going about their business, doing their things, and some news on Tavares that sounds optimistic in terms of him possibly being ready opening night. We'll get into that more still to come. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 2. All right, so the Leafs are back in action tomorrow. They've got a back-to-back tomorrow and Saturday. Samsonov will play tomorrow. Murray will play on Saturday. And then it's you're just sitting back and waiting to go, man. You're waiting for next Wednesday. You got a back-to-back to open the season. Wednesday in Montreal at home against Washington on the Thursday. And some positive news out of camp up in Gravenhurst that saying John Tavares is not now it's not 100% lock he misses opening night. Which,
good on that front, Hazy.
Absolutely.
I thought it was like 4 or 5 weeks. And back to the back-to-back, doesn't that seem a little bit goofy for any team? Like, there's 82 games, and you got to fire up a back-to-back right off the hop? I don't know. That just doesn't make, sense.
Like, they do it every year. Every year the Leafs, they either play Wednesday, Thursday, or Wednesday, Friday, Saturday, Wednesday,
like,
Saturday,
really?
Sunday. There's like a doubleheader or a back-to-back early in the season every year.
It just doesn't seem – and, guys, I don't know what you think, and I don't know if they'll ever do it, but this 7 or 8 exhibition games has got to stop. It's like these guys proved the one – it was like one bubble year where they started in January. They need 5 days, 5 to 6 days, and they're ready to rock. They're basically ready to rock at any time. This 7 or 8 games, it's nonsense, and it's cutting into the season and making it longer, so – give them 10 days or 5, I don't know what, 7 days and 2 games, 3 games, and let's go, because it's dragging on and it's not good for the product.
I was fine with 4 to 6 games maximum.
4 max, Jamie.
Yeah, okay, 2 at home, 2 on the road. Perfect.
I'm fine with that. You know, a lot of these star players will play a couple anyways. They're, even when they're playing, they're just trying to stay out of the way anyways. They're not, you know, they're trying a couple things and that's it. But 8, it's fantasy camp. You're having to dress a certain amount of veterans. There's guys that you know have no chance of making the team, but are still hanging around camp. Like, I think it's way too many. I'm sure it's a CBA/owner thing to make a few extra dollars here or there. But ultimately, camp's too long. You could make it 2 weeks. You're right. Have 4 games, 2 on the road, 2 at home, and the veterans could play 3 of the 4, and away you go. Like, hit the ground running.
Yeah,
but
they know who's making the team. They want to look at a couple guys, but it's just crazy. It's too long, and it drags on, and I don't think it's good for anticipation. Well, and it's like everyone you talk to regarding hockey, there's zero excitement right now. They're like, oh my God, get this preseason over with.
Yeah,
that's
it,
the
drags
sentiment
on way too long.
It does. Everyone says the same thing. It's like, this is ridiculous, and it kind of just – for the whole game in general, it takes away on the excitement level. Just cut it down.
Yeah,
like, I know we're getting picky here, but it's just a thing where it's like,
I think it's free revenue. That's what it comes down to.
No kidding.
You can sell tickets, and you don't have to pay the players, and that's really what it is. You know,
it is.
It gives you a chance at a home gate where all it is just found money, and that's why they're not going to get rid of it. And, like, the TV networks up here, I think, appreciate it, too. You put some games on early on, build up your product. But the players, like the Leaf camp, early on, there was a lot of news because Sandin was still dealing with his contract. Tavares was injured. Muzzin was injured. I would say the last 7 to 10 days, it's been it's been very quiet, which is a real positive. Like, that's a sign of a veteran team, a team that's – they know who they are, what they're probably going to do during the regular season, and they're just going about their business. You know, and every day Keith says, there's jobs up for grabs. Not really. You know, not really. Like, for the most part, we know 10 or 11 of the forwards that'll be there opening night. We know the 6 defensemen, and we know Matt Murray's going to start, and Samsonov will start the next one, right? Like, it's just a formality at this point. But Tavares returning would be big, because I think for him, you know, he did not have a good playoff. Last year, there were parts of the season where it went very dry on him. He's the captain of the team that is dealing with a lot of pressure. Like, I think it's incredibly important for him to get off to a good start, right? Like, I think he's got to get off. He's got to feel good. He's got to get rolling with the team. You want to feel like you're a part of it. You don't want to get left behind. You know, it's – I think in terms of where he is and with his where he is in his career and the amount of pressure that this team's dealing with, and he has to be at the forefront of it wearing the captaincy – I think the idea of him being able to play opening night would be big. And maybe he doesn't play in the back-to-back, right? Is there load management right off the bat? Maybe he plays opening night, takes night 2 off. I don't know.
Yeah.
But he wants his first conversation about him to be, this guy's dialed in right now. Because we know what the other end of the spectrum could be when his first time his name comes up 10 or 12 days into the season. He doesn't want that, doesn't need that, and the team doesn't need that.
Now, as long as he's structurally fine to play, I'm sure there'll be some pain management that he has to battle through. But if he if he's getting close to play, like they're, it's more about timing, comfort level, all of that. Oh, you just talked about it. Fine-tuned athlete. Tavares is that. He's a hard-working guy. So if he's ready to go and just, you know, unfortunately doesn't get that exhibition game, or the exhibition game.
And that's not going to happen now. He's not going to play.
Not a big, no. Yeah. So it's just about, hey, are you ready for Wednesday night? If not, it's Saturday. They play four games in their first six nights. Mm-hmm. So,
and
you
Jamie,
know,
I don't
he's
have
available.
I don't have a ton of wiggle room. Like, just for the money that he's being paid in a salary cap era, I expect great things from him. I expect him to be great. Like, if we're going to go down the road of just kind of capitulating and saying, you know what, he's sound defensively and he's good in all three zones and that's what he brings to the table. I mean, we can do that, but in a salary cap era, when you're spending that much money on a guy and that's all he's bringing to the table, like, I expect him to be good, a difference maker.
Yeah, I think you want him to be. I don't expect it. I like, wanting one is one thing, expecting is another. Case in point, the top 50 just came out. He's not on it. Like, that means TSN collectively is not expecting him to be great. If you're not voted into the top 50,
he's not on that list.
He's not on the list.
No.
So if you're not in the collective top 50, then you're not expected to be great. Like, the idea of him being up for a Rocket or a Hart, like, it's not, that's not even a conversation, you know. And I'm not slagging him. I'm just saying, because I've been taking some heat based on what I'm expecting out of him this year. I think it just continues to take steps back. Not giant steps back. Not, wow, you're a detriment. Like, still playing a lot of games and scoring goals. But I wouldn't be surprised if it's 25 goals and 65 points. Like, I would not be surprised.
Okay. All I'm saying is,
and at $11 million, that's not bang for your buck, but I'm that's not expecting 45 goals and 90 points. I think you're crazy if you think that's coming.
But this is Hayes, you said it last year. And right now with where they are and the flat cap, John Tavares in his fourth year, fifth year, has to produce, where if the cap would have gone up and they would have continued to, and he can get pushed down farther in the lineup and kind of some nights maybe not be there, then you wouldn't care that much. But because it's been a flat cap, because they have to squeeze guys in on, you know, PTOs and low value contracts, he has to produce for what they're paying him.
They also haven't found through the draft. The only way to make that work, Noodles, even if the cap kept going up, was some kid on an entry level who comes out of nowhere and is a stud. Right? Like, even if the cap was $95 million, $11 million is a huge chunk of change, man. It's still going to make you one of the 10 or 15 highest paid players in the league. You're not getting a guy in a PTO who's going to be better than that, right? You're not getting a guy just as a free agent who you think would be better than Tavares. The only chance of someone surpassing Tavares, and I would say this starts now throughout the rest of his contract, is if somehow they draft and develop someone that can do it. Because you need someone to be really cheap, you know? Like, in 2 years, Matthews is going to bump even more.
Yep.
So 3 years from now, when Tavares is still on the team, his final year of the deal, I believe, lines up with the first year of a Matthews new deal if Matthews re-signs. Let's say Matthews goes up to 15. It means you could have 26.
Higher than that.
Okay, but let's, just for argument's sake, say 15.
Yeah.
Let's say $26 million is in the middle of the ice. The only way you're getting a guy that is going to play better than Tavares is if he's making $900,000 on an entry level.
That's it. Yeah.
So
there's,
where are you
no
going to find
way
that
around
guy?
That, man.
Well, that's Matthew Knies. That's the, you know, that's guys like that. They have to draft him. That's Nick Robertson. He was coming, you know, be coming out of his deal. Like, that, it is important. And I brought that up the other day. Like, you need to have to continue to cycle through. Their first cycle worked with, you know, Marner and we talked Nylander, Matthews. Now the next cycle
that
is,
was 6 years ago.
I understand that, but like, that's what I went through Edmonton's roster the other day. Finally, you know, they've got players that have been drafted and developed that are pushing for jobs. Holloway's one of them. You know, Yamamoto was one of them. Like, that Ryan McLeod. That's where the Leafs, they've got to find. If it's Robertson, if it's, you know, Knies, Abruzzese, I always butcher his name. Nick
Abruzzese, yeah.
Abruzzese. Like, guys like that, you gotta find players outside the first round or second round, because that needs to fill out your team. You can't just be finding the Zach Aston Reeses and guys like that hoping to have.
Well, look at Tampa as example, right? So they had Stamkos, and you knew Stamkos was the man. Since then, they've drafted Braden Point in the third round, Anthony Cirelli in the second or third round, I believe. And you could argue those two guys are just as impactful, you know, if not more.
Of course they are.
Exactly. You know, and eventually they had to get paid. But, like, Tampa is the crown jewel. We talked about it earlier. They have three guys in the top 10 of TSN's top 50. They got Vasilevsky, Hedman, and Kucherov. Then you've got Stamkos and Point in the 20s. And quite frankly, I think Point, that's ridiculous for me if he's healthy. If Braden Point is healthy, I think he's a top 15 player in the league. Like,
all
I think
day long.
Health, I think they have four of the 15 best players in the league, you could argue.
Mm-hmm.
So. Yeah. That's what you're chasing. Now, the Leafs, again, Matthews is in the top 15. Marner's in the top 15. Nylander's not on the top 50. I could see him absolutely being a top 50 player in the regular season this year, 100%. Mm-hmm. Last year, I would argue he was one of the 50 best players in the league during the regular season. He had 80 points, 34, 35 goals. I don't know if there were 50 guys better than him, but I don't think he's going to be in the top 25. Mm-hmm. You know,
Hayes,
like there's limitations on what he can do.
It's always tough to go through the salaries when there's not winning involved, when you don't even get out of a round. Like, you look at Tampa's pay structure, and you're like, oh, yeah, Point's worth it. They're all worth it because they just won two Stanley Cups and went to the finals 3 years in a row.
Yeah.
And there's only one winner every year. And everybody else that's paying all these studs big bucks with the idea of winning has got to be looking at it saying, man, like, what are we getting out of that?
Mm-hmm.
And the Toronto people are looking at it as we don't even get a round out of it.
Well, I thought Noodles made a great point earlier, like about the only way Matthews can somehow chase down McDavid for the top spot is you got to do it in the playoffs. Like that's
success.
You got to win. You got to have a Conn Smythe score a million goals, and it's like wow, that's a new level we've never seen before, right? Because we've seen it all during the regular season.
Yeah, and there's no, like. He's achieved that in the regular season.
Of course.
But I talked more about, like, Draisaitl. I found another level of respect. We knew what he was going through. The guy didn't make excuses, and he just battled every night. McDavid was like, I'm not going to be – I'm in Game 7 against L.A. I'm not losing this game. Like, that last – remember the defining goal, like, right at the end of the Game 7? It goes around Jersey and jams it in. Like, he's like, that's it. We're not losing.
Mm-hmm.
Mike Smith, you could score on him from the parking lot against Calgary. I'm not losing. Like, that was defining moments. And that's what we remember. I'm looking at Austin Matthews or, you know, Mitch Marner to have these defining moments. If Austin Matthews in Game 7, when Nick Paul scores two goals and he goes, I'm putting three up tonight. Sorry.
Mm-hmm.
Just not happen. Like, I don't care if that's Vasilevsky in net. It's I'm not being denied tonight. Like, we're talking a different story here today. Just about
absolutely.
You know, him delivering it and being not being denied. Doesn't matter what went on, whether you know the goaltending or injuries or inconsistencies, and you know it was if him or Marner. And I know that's single minded to just go well Matthews.
But they're the best players.
I'm not blaming it on them. But what
you
I'm saying is
Kampf to do
right,
it.
Right. It's just that those guys. I saw Connor McDavid. Like, he wasn't going to be denied. And same thing with Draisaitl. If Matthews is not denied this year in the playoffs, he's like, that. It doesn't matter what goes on. This is what I'm doing. Maybe he does take that top spot.
It felt that way through five games, you know. But that's it. It's got to be more than that, you know. And these guys are all well aware of it. But, yeah, we'll see.
I think there's a lot of – I mean, there's going to be a lot to find, but I think a lot of it's still going to come with health. Like, it's weird. I've just got a weird vibe around, like, the league right now. Like, you're just seeing stuff trickle out. Oh, another injury here, another injury. Another player not going to be ready for opening night. Like, it just – oh, you talked about it. Like, maybe it's too many games. Maybe camp's too long. Maybe it's, you know, the bubble and the COVID and everything and the condensed seasons have caught up. But there's mileage on guys where you wouldn't expect mileage on them.
Big time. Well, how about in the NBA? Street clothes didn't play last night.
I saw that. I'm like, what are you doing sitting beside LeBron with your tracksuit on? How could that be possible, Brian?
Well, because he's Anthony Davis. That sounds possible.
He doesn't have enough juice in the tank to get into a preseason game?
Evidently. Evidently, old street clothes.
I almost passed out when I saw SportsCenter and he was on the sidelines in street clothes. I'm like, I can't believe it. It's preseason.
Got a bad back. I broke my back. It's spinal. That's what's going on with him.
Charles Barkley just must see that. He must be watching the highlights and just be like, that's.
It's crazy, though, man. Like, Davis, he knows his reputation. Like, he knows. Now, listen, first overall, he's won a title. He's made a fortune. I don't think he needs to worry that much about the opinions of anyone else. He's living a good life in L.A. But you would think, after last year's debacle, maybe show up and play.
But what if
fight through a little bit of
injury? Putting your gear on and sit on this? He loves putting his street clothes on.
Yes.
And that's why Chuck Barkley named him Street Clothes.
Yep. He loves wearing street clothes. He does, because he was doing it last night. Yeah, and Phoenix came back to win. They did not cover the number, but the Adelaide 36ers are playing tonight. I think they're in Oklahoma City. That Adelaide team's causing a lot of concern, man. A lot of heartburn around the NBA because Adelaide had to show up. Anyway, we'll come back with our best bets brought to you by ProLine. Maybe replay the clip of Alex Anthopoulos, the TSN turning point for the Braves. If you missed it earlier, this will probably surprise you on what really got the boys flowing again back in midsummer. So we'll get to that. We'll tee up the game again tonight. Recap Luke's brother's pick and how it came about. We'll get to my FanDuel best bets as well. We'll do that next. A pair of tickets to give away for the home opener Leafs Capitals October 13th. Every day this week, well, yesterday, today, and tomorrow, we will provide the clue to the identity of a current or ex-Maple Leaf player. On Friday, tomorrow, you'll have a chance to call in and name that Leaf. All right, today's clue. This former Maple Leaf surpassed the 20-goal mark twice as a member of the Maple Leafs. Interesting. 20-goal score two times as a Maple Leaf. All right, so final clue tomorrow, and then when you hear that, we'll open up the phone lines. You'll have a chance to call in, name that Leaf, and you're going to see Leafs Capitals a week tonight. I like it. All right, our best bets brought to you by FanDuel. I love Denver tonight. I love Denver for a number of reasons. We'll play some audio maybe in just a moment and tell you why.
Hang on a sec, Hazy B. Mm-hmm. If it goes south for my guys, it might be like the WWE. It might be O-Dog Hazy B.
Come
Luke,
on.
Oh, Luke. I would.
You're joining NWO? That's what's going on here?
I might have to paint a black mustache like the Hulkster. I don't know, but if they're going to carry on like that and have a belief, the time is ticking on my tenure with those two.
Hollywood Jeff O'Neill flipping over to the NWO.
Is that what the Hulkster became, Hollywood?
Hollywood Hogan. Yeah, he went from
Hulk way,
Hogan.
That was his name?
Yes, he went from Hulk Hogan to Hollywood Hogan.
I love it.
Absolutely.
Hollywood O-Dog.
Hollywood
O-Dog. That would be awesome.
That would actually be great. Yep, that would be great.
I always felt like the two of you should be together.
I agree with you, Noodles. Thank you.
It would be harsh to leave those guys, but I don't know. It might be the next thing on the docket because they've left me out in the cold on a bunch of the messages. And they're becoming super buddies like you and Tux. And I don't know how much more time I have for it.
Right.
I've never wanted Russell Wilson. Sorry, I've never wanted Russell Wilson to have a better game than tonight.
Me neither, like. Noodles.
Oh my god!
You know what's amazing about this? All right, so before I continue with my picks, for those of you that missed it earlier, Team Luke's brothers, Al Dog, they had the pick for the game
Luke's
tonight.
Brothers.
Luke's brothers had the pick for the game tonight. Luke Wilson in studio wearing a Super Bowl ring. Yes. He won a Super Bowl with Russell Wilson as his quarterback.
Yes.
You would think he would know the tendencies of Russ going into a game like tonight. Like, no one else on earth might know the tendencies more than Luke Wilson. And Luke came in adamant, Broncos roll tonight, and he had his mind twisted up like a pretzel
by
Al's
brother.
Someone
that lived in a gimp box in Niagara-on-the-Lake down in the basement.
Right. In a hot tub indoors in Niagara-on-the-Lake. Decided to convince him that actually Indianapolis is the play tonight.
And he just, read that, Al's brother made me flip the switch, is jarring.
Jarring, yes. Quite the headline. That's
anyway, clickbait. You got Denver tonight.
I like Denver. I like Russ anytime touchdown tonight, paying plus 700. Right. I think he's going to be all dancing, right. And I think they'll be in the red zone, and he'll be chasing the end zone. I think it's worth a sprinkle tonight. And in the ball game tomorrow afternoon, before we're on the air, Tampa against Cleveland, you got McClanahan against Bieber, two studs. The offenses just are simply not there. It's going to be cold in Cleveland. It's going to be so cold in Toronto tomorrow. I think it's supposed to feel like negative weather at some point. I like the under. The total's only 6. I see a 2-1 ball game tomorrow, maybe 3-2. I like the under in the ball game tomorrow afternoon. Today's best bets brought to you by FanDuel. Make every moment more. Get your winnings fast when you download the FanDuel Sportsbook app today. Do we have the Anthopoulos clip, JP? I don't know how long it is. Noodles, you asked about the TSN turning point, right? Because the Mets had a 10.5 game lead on Atlanta back in June, I believe it was. And clearly something changed. Something led to a turn. Here is what Alex Anthopoulos told us about 2 hours ago. This was the TSN turning point.
But I remember Travis d'Arnaud, our starting catcher, came to me and said, "Hey, can we get the ice cream machine back? I'm telling you." Because they had it in the visiting clubhouse when we played the Red Sox, and we won both games. I'm telling you, it was great vibes. The guys are getting around the machine. They're hanging out. That's why we won the games.
The ice cream machine. So Anthopoulos had to go back to ownership and say, yes, they're a 26-man roster filled with millionaires and adults. They want ice cream.
I told you the best transaction, though, like the best flow of the transaction would have been Anthopoulos leaving the owner's office, discussing how they needed to get their house in order, down to the clubhouse, and then your catcher pulls you aside and says, "Can we get the ice cream machine back?" My head would have popped off my body, clean right off.
Yeah. Well,
I know.
It worked. It worked. They're sitting home pretty, man. The Mets got to play the Padres now. 2 games, maybe 3 games in New York. And I believe Atlanta will face either St. Louis or Philly in the next round. And if the Mets beat the Padres, so think about this. You win 101 games. 101. But you got to play in the wild card. If you win the wild card, you go play L.A. You're playing the Dodgers.
Get your head caved in.
And more than likely losing, because the Dodgers are putting up historic numbers this season. Yeah. And some people are claiming maybe, you know, the best team we've seen in 50 years.
Dude, I thought they were going to smoke Atlanta last year, and it didn't happen. So anything could happen.
Anything can happen.
That's true.
Yep. That's the beauty of baseball, man. And we'll find out tomorrow what the Jays are made of. And the other teams involved in the wild card, like Seattle. We had Dave Sims on earlier this hour. He's confident, man. Like, he's not in the clubhouse. He's not swinging bats or throwing balls. He's just calling games. But Dave Sims has been the play-by-play guy for the Mariners for a long time. He said their rotation's really good, their bullpen is really strong, and they're starting to get some guys who are hitting for pop, and they've been hitting home runs a lot lately. The last couple of months, Seattle's been hitting a lot of home runs. So we'll see, right? We'll find out tomorrow.
Has there been any sniff of the kind of the rotation after Manoah?
No, nothing yet.
Wow.
Haven't
I thought
seen
Gausman
yet.
Would have said something like, you know, "Hey, my finger's fine, so put ready to roll for, you know, game two," type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But
I think he's going game two. I think it's got to be Gausman Ray, doesn't it? Like, that's what
it
everyone wants.
It has to be.
Yeah, everyone wants to see it. And they're a young team. Vladdy's young. Bo's yet. Young Alejandro Kirk is young. Manoah's young. Like, the four of them are under 25.
Mm-hmm.
And those are guys, that's going to be your 2-3-4 hitter and your starting pitcher tomorrow night in front of like 50,000 crazy people down at the Dome. So enjoy it if you're going down to the game. It's going to be a fun one. It'll be a fun day tomorrow in the city in general. So we'll see how it all plays out. We're out of here. It's been a fun one today. Thanks to everyone behind the scenes, everyone for tuning in. Radio, TV, podcast, web, wherever it happens to be. We appreciate it. We're out of here. Enjoy your evenings. Enjoy the games tonight. We're back tomorrow at...
Might be my last day with Luke's brothers. 4 p.m.
We'll chat then.